1974. A 10-year-old boy was snooping for Christmas presents in a crawl space of the basement of his family's home in Chicago. There was a lot of old stuff in there, so he was looking for anything that looked kind of new. He found 3 shoe boxes and a hat box. Inside the boxes were a bunch of old newspaper clippings and letters still in their stamped envelopes. The top newspaper article was from the Chicago Tribune, dated April 28, 1964. 200 search for stolen baby. Then another headline, Dad appeals for baby's return. Then another one, Mother asks kidnapper to return baby. Baby hunt drags on in sad city. Then he saw a photo caption that named the baby's parents. They had his parents' names. He read on where it said the victim of the kidnapping was 1.5 day old, Paul Joseph Fronczak. That was his name. So it's 1964, April 27th to be exact. We're in Chicago, the Michael Reese Hospital. Chester and Dora are having a baby. Chester's 33, Dora's 28. This is actually their second pregnancy. They've been married for a couple of years. Their first baby was stillborn.
Oh.
So now Dora's super happy. She's got a baby boy. He was born the day before, so on April 27th. They've brought him into the hospital room so she could feed him. This was back in the day. I don't know what they do now. But back.
What do you mean?
Well, in the 60s,
yeah.
Babies were just brought into moms to be fed. Then they took them back to the nursery. Yeah. The baby spent the time in the nursery.
That's overrated.
Then, yeah, and then things kind of shifted. And I don't know if it was like the 80s and 90s, yeah. Babies, moms wanted to keep the babies in their room yeah. with them.
And they would go just when the moms absolutely needed to sleep, they would take them to the nursery, right?
Yeah. And then, why couldn't the baby just, baby slept in the room with their mom.
They would be taken to the nursery. They still have nurseries with babies in them.
Sure they did, but a lot of times moms wanted to keep the babies with them all the time.
Seems clingy. It seems a little needy.
When we had our kids, that's what I thought I wanted.
Yeah.
And then
you changed your mind really fast.
Very happy.
I'd prefer to sleep.
For those babies to be taken back to the nursery.
Take it as long as you need. You know what? Why don't you just give it back to them when they start school?
So anyway, she's got the baby, she's feeding him, and a nurse comes in the afternoon, and she's not a talkative nurse, she doesn't say anything. While she's feeding the baby, the nurse just lifts up the blanket that's covering the baby while she's feeding him, just looks at him, and then puts it back down and leaves.
That's creepy.
It is a little bit weird. About a half an hour later, this same nurse comes back and tells her that a pediatrician wants to examine the baby. She needs to take him. And Dora thinks it's a little bit weird. Like, why would you interrupt a feeding to take the baby to be examined? But whatever. So she, wraps him back up and lets her take him. That nurse takes the baby out of Dora's hospital room, goes straight into a stairwell, and then out of the hospital.
No, so that we know that someone saw this air quote nurse taking a baby into the stairwell.
Yes.
Okay.
And
another nurse, I'd imagine.
A student nurse.
Student nurse. Okay.
After this quote unquote nurse takes the baby out of the hospital, a cab picks them up behind the hospital and drives them several blocks away and then just drops them off. Mm-hmm. You know, that this cabbie has no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
The student nurse had seen her take the baby out of the room and go into the stairwell, knows this is not proper, tells the supervisor, and they kind of quietly start searching.
Code blue. They don't. Powder blue, I think is what it is.
And so they know because Dora's roommate hasn't had her baby yet. So they know the room that she came out of, so they know it's Dora's baby. They don't say anything to Dora because they don't want to freak her out. So they start searching the hospital, and they don't find any trace. So it's like about an hour later.
Oh, my.
A little bit less than an hour later.
So they're just sort of looking around informally.
Yeah. They call the police.
An hour after they saw the baby.
I think so.
If you don't find the baby in the first, 60 seconds.
Yeah.
And that nurse... You can't. I mean, that's actually, honestly, I know. I understand the student nurse would think,
she
okay,
immediately
that's a senior
said something.
Nurse,
yeah.
But didn't stop her. She
oh,
didn't
no.
Say, excuse
yeah.
me. Excuse me.
Yeah. That's
and follow
true.
Her
yeah.
out and down the stairwell.
Yeah.
You know, because if she had done that and the woman had been suspicious
yeah.
or fled.
Yeah.
The police would have been called immediately. It's yeah. too bad. I mean, but you know, you see it from her point of view. The student nurse, I mean,
yes.
she thought probably that this is a senior nurse. So,
yeah.
Okay.
But she did tell her supervisor
yeah.
immediately.
And her supervisor is the one who should have called yeah. the police way before 1 hour.
Well, that probably wasn't her call. She did alert like hospital okay. security. So huh. they were actively searching the hospital.
Yeah,
but,
well,
you know,
come on.
Yeah, I know.
I wonder, I mean,
things
was it,
are different nowadays.
Was it, I know, but it does sound like they are trying to
keep it quiet.
Keep it quiet. Yeah.
yeah.
And hope,
yeah.
okay, there's been some mistake, but
yeah.
you err on the side
yeah.
of caution and call the police immediately. Yes. And if it's embarrassment, it's an embarrassment.
Yeah. Well, the police immediately issued an APB for the baby and the nurse.
Terry, don't talk police stuff. Tell us what is an APB?
All points bulletin.
I'm kidding. It's a bolo, Carrie.
And it's more than a bolo.
Oh, okay.
That's just be on the lookout.
Oh.
If you see it,
all
say
points
something.
Bulletin.
But all points bulletin is like everybody actively go look.
We're going to need to change that because that sounds like it's from the 30s.
Well, they actually began a door-to-door search mm-hmm. of like a 10-block
wow.
area around the hospital, knocking on every door, you know, looking for the baby. Which, I mean, good idea, but really?
Yeah, I know.
You think she's going next door?
A neighbor happened to there, you know, I'll just go next door and hang out there for a while. And you know what? I'll raise it right here next to the hospital.
So they still hadn't said anything to Dora.
Yeah.
So she doesn't know. And the father, Chester, was at work at some factory. And he was, you know, passing out cigars at work, getting ready to go back to the hospital
yeah.
and see his wife and new baby boy. And he got a phone call from the police who told him his baby had been kidnapped. And
so
he,
they were up front with him immediately.
Yes.
Okay.
And they needed him to return to the hospital as soon as he could.
But don't tell your wife.
No, he immediately went there and okay. he was the one that had to tell her.
Oh, man.
I know. Terrible. It became a huge manhunt.
I believe it's called a baby hunt, Carrie. No matter how.
Person hunt.
Creepy that headline is. It's called a baby hunt. So
yes,
please use
true.
The phrase baby hunt. Okay, so the baby hunt starts after it's been a little more than an hour now. At least,
yeah.
okay.
Yep. 200 police officers and FBI agents descend on Chicago and start searching. They expand this yeah. door-to-door search. They searched over 600 homes by midnight that night. They started reviewing records of all registered nurses. In Chicago, they checked jails. Thinking she was
checked
hiding out
jails?
In a jail. I know. I don't. It seems weird.
Yeah.
They checked
that.
Medical records of women who had recently had stillborn babies.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how or to what purpose, but they enlisted the help of letter carriers. I'm assuming because letter carriers back in those days kind of got to know the families on
yeah.
their routes,
yeah.
and they might know. Of a family that, recently
yeah.
had a baby die or had a pregnancy that didn't, you know, and so,
something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or maybe.
Or keep the eye out for someone who had a baby suddenly who shouldn't have
exactly.
a baby suddenly.
Mm-hmm. And
let the U.S. Postal Service solve
I know.
It, is what
yeah.
the police said, basically.
Yep.
It's on you guys. It's on you guys. letter carriers. It's up to you, 100%.
Letter carriers don't have so much face-to-face contact with their customers these
no,
days.
No, no. In fact, they're usually UPS or something like that, and they just pop out of their van with their loud music still on the entire time while they block the road unnecessarily. There's plenty of room in the curb right there, but they block the road unnecessarily. Then they pound on your door even though they don't need to, and they know they don't need to. They don't need a signature, but they pound on the door, and then they run away, and they get back into their van. They leave the radio on at full blast, and they do some paperwork for a little while before they take off without looking.
Dean Fact. Has beef with FedEx and UPS and Amazon drivers.
They're all terrible.
No, we still have letter carriers to this day.
One or two,
but
I believe.
They don't go to each house. They go to those one mailbox on each street.
Oh, thank you, Carrie. I knew that. I just wanted to rant.
I know you did. Although I do know our letter carrier. Her name is Daisy.
Okay. All right.
Anyway.
Outed her, but that's fine.
They questioned over 38,000 people in the days after this kidnapping across the country. Yes. They took, I mean, I think everywhere in this country, they would take a baby being taken out of a hospital very seriously. But
yeah,
they really did take it very seriously, and they employed all the resources they could.
I'm kind of heartened that it was not for a rich family or a cop. Seems like, you know, if a cop gets killed, 4,000 cops are on board in that search immediately. If a rich person has their, I don't know, yacht sink, you see dozens and dozens and dozens of stories about it when that kind of thing, something not dissimilar, and that's a boat sink every single day and people die. But
yeah, no, this was not only was it a huge Chicago story, it became a huge national story too. Mm.
I wonder why. Just, I guess.
Actually,
I
mean, it became international.
I know you probably haven't researched this, but is there any kind of statistics that babies being taken? Was it completely?
No.
I mean, I imagine it's very rare, but I also imagine it wasn't unheard of.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a thing. It's a thing enough where now, of course, for a long time, now you have the little wristband and they check it. And you can't walk around without one.
Well, nowadays, I think it's kidnapping danger and also swapping.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
for sure.
Switched at birth kind of situations.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but still.
Yeah.
You have some safeguards more than then. So I can't imagine it was unheard of, but this one really caught the imagination.
They had wristbands back then.
They did in mid-1960s?
Oh, sure.
How would you know? You were not born. This actually were...
I know because I was born in the 60s and I have a baby book that includes my little wristband.
Oh, does it really? And I didn't have a wristband. I guess I grew up in a poor area and they couldn't afford
you
wristbands.
You absolutely did too.
I don't think I did. I don't have it. I've never seen it. I've never heard of it. I've never been told about it.
Do you have a baby book?
I don't know what that is.
Yes,
actually,
you do.
I'm not 100% sure what it is. I can context clues.
Yeah.
Kind of like baby hunt.
Yeah.
I can figure out what it is where you're hunting babies with
your
small
mom
arms.
May have kept them. She just never gave it to you.
I guess not. Wow.
I haven't given my children their baby books.
You have them?
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
They're not all very complete.
Wow.
But I'm sure they all contain a wristband.
You're sure?
Yes.
Okay, that sounds, there's a level of uncertainty in there.
And probably locks of hair, maybe even umbilical cord remnants.
Oh, okay. Now, that's just weird.
Back to the baby hunt.
They named the baby, do you know what they named the baby?
Paul.
Paul, got it.
Chester, Dora,
Chester,
and
Dora,
Paul.
And little Paul.
Uh-huh. So they created a sketch of this alleged nurse slash kidnapper based on the moms, because several other mothers, new mothers in the hospital, reported her coming into their room too and doing the same thing, lifting the baby's blanket, looking at the baby, and then putting it back down again. So it's like she was shopping
for
the baby that had whatever she was looking for.
Yeah.
Hair color.
Physical likeness.
Yeah.
Because she's going to presumably
pass it off as her.
So she's got to look at, no, the little Latina is adorable, but that probably won't work. So,
I mean, for that, you could just look at the mother.
You could, but you look at the baby. Maybe you look at the baby and see, oh, God, that's an ugly baby. And you keep shopping.
I'm sure they all look very similar. Yeah. One-day-old babies don't look that different.
Babies
but anyway.
Babies are much uglier than we think they are.
She was a white woman. They estimated 35 to 45 years old. Okay. This is also based on the cabbie because they did find him. He came forward. They thought she was around 5'3", 130 to 145 pounds, and brown eyes and brown hair with gray streaks in it.
Mm.
So the 35 to 45, I mean...
Well,
that's weird. I guess some women do have gray.
Yeah. It's a little bit premature.
Streaks in their hair. She was wearing a nurse outfit, just a very, you know, generic white dress. And she was missing a nurse cap, which I guess back in those days.
You did not.
Nurses all wore those little caps.
You didn't nurse without a cap back in those days. That was very, and you pinned it in, I imagine.
Yep.
Yes.
There were no other, like,
it's like a nun without the whole headgear thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe they're wearing a trucker cap from a Circle J. And, you know, it says something like, keep on trucking or make America great again or something like that. And they go nunning with the cap on, not the whole habit thing. And you notice this is like that for nursing.
Although now we know nurses don't wear caps anymore, and they don't wear white dresses. And
no, they wear whatever they want. They wear the street clothes.
They wore scrubs. They wear scrubs.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, you can kind of tell. You can't tell a nurse from a doctor.
Now,
a lot
honestly,
of times.
They can be anything. They can be an orderly. They can be. So they all wear scrubs pretty much.
Yeah, that's true.
They should be color coded. Red for radiology. Green for, I want to say, on the recycling team and the laundry and stuff like that.
Okay.
Recycling.
Well, anyway,
is very important.
There were no other distinctive identifying details like scars or, you know, I don't imagine.
No, red for surgeons because the blood on them would not be as noticeable.
There you go.
Sorry, go ahead.
So they were centering their investigation on nurses because, you know, she was posing as a nurse, but also she seemed to know a lot about how the maternity ward operated, the nurse's schedule. They found out she had spent over 4 hours in the hospital on the day of the kidnapping. So she was probably observing what they were doing. Oh. But she also seemed to know that she shouldn't try to take the baby from the nursery because that would be harder. Mm. That, you know, it would be easier if she took the baby from the mother's room.
Yeah. Why? It'd be harder in the nursery because someone would have challenged her.
Yes.
She'd had to get it from another nurse.
Okay. Yeah. You can't take her because there. I'm sure there's somebody right there.
Yeah. Okay.
In charge of all those babies.
Okay. Yeah. See, but I wonder if she could have observed that strictly from watching for 4 hours and not necessarily having nurse background, right?
Yeah, maybe. Okay. This is what they think, though.
Okay.
Also, the day before, she was...
So 4 hours and no one says anything to her. No one says, who's that woman in the corner over there looking at everybody with a fake nurse? Is that,
well,
did she, was she
somebody
wearing her,
noticed her because...
They did, but they did absolutely nothing about it. And then that seems strange. You think they'd challenge her. What are you doing here, ma'am?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a hat.
Nowadays, can you even get up to the maternity ward?
No,
you can't.
You need to have a band. That's like as a parent, the father, because fathers rarely have the children. The mothers usually do. You have to show your band to get into the maternity ward. At least I did 4 times, which is too many.
But you can have visitors.
You can, can't you? Do they?
But they probably have to. I don't remember.
I think someone with a band. I'm trying to remember now that I have to go. I think I had to go get them. It's a long time ago.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think I had to go get them and bring them in.
What if?
You know?
What if the?
I got them past the velvet rope.
What if the spouse isn't there or the partner's not there?
I don't know.
There's got to be a way, but I'm sure they check everybody who comes in.
They must.
They don't just let you walk in. Hmm. I mean, I think that's true of any hospital room.
Yeah.
The day before, she had approached a housekeeper and offered to help fold linens.
So she was at the hospital
the day
2 days
before.
In a row, the day before as well.
And this housekeeper thought, this is weird. Yeah. Nurses never offer to help do these things.
Snooty nurses.
Uh-huh.
It's a pecking order.
Yeah. But it wasn't so weird that she felt she needed to say something at the time.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know... somebody should get in trouble for this. It's just like a weird thing. So on May 5th, so this is several days.
What was the actual date again?
April 27th.
27, okay.
And Dora stayed in the hospital
this whole time.
Yeah, they were worried about her, obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And so Chester stayed there with her. Hmm. But, you know, they kind of were giving her medication and stuff like that.
They probably
gave
her their own room, I'm assuming.
Yeah, probably. Okay. I don't know. So on May 5th, the doctors made a public statement saying that it was very possible, due to family history, that this baby would have several allergies and wouldn't be able to take regular baby formula. So they gave specific instructions to the presumed kidnappers on how he should be fed. And it had to be soy milk. And I guess at the time there wasn't like an alternative formula. So
almond milk, we're still decades away from saving the country from those of us who are lactose intolerant.
Well, there is soy formula now, but they didn't have it back then.
Yeah.
So they needed to...
I'm honestly surprised they even had soy milk back then. I'm not going to lie.
Well, they did have soy milk, but soy milk doesn't have any of the nutrition that cow's milk has.
Really? Well, it has protein.
Probably, but you need vitamins
and
stuff like
that.
So they listed all the different things that they would have to add to the milk, including vitamin C and all the different kind of vitamins and stuff. It was all stuff that you could get at any drugstore. I thought when I first read this that, this meant they were then they were going to like stake out all the drugstores.
I was just going to say, are they tricking them into...
Yeah.
Drugstores are on the alert for anybody buying vitamin D, vitamin E, and whatever, you know, but, riboflavin. Yeah. And,
but nobody.
And they, soy.
Yeah. It didn't seem... nothing I read said they were doing that.
So it's true. The baby has some kind of dairy allergy, I guess.
Yes.
Okay. Or what should they have
they weren't sure, but it was possible that they're going to develop it.
For the kidnapper to help the baby.
Yes, because they were assuming...
It's been 8 days, though, so...
That it was a woman who was desperate to have a baby and that she would be taking care of this baby. Mm-hmm. Because also in that time, there was no ransom demand, so... No,
and that tells you it's not a kidnapping.
Correct.
That it's a snatch. Yeah. Snatch and grab.
Yes.
She frankly went baby hunting.
Also, you know, in the first like week, the babies don't even really... At least the first... several days they're not getting much
no but they still may be fed
from their mothers yes but I mean even if he did have a severe you know the allergy or whatever it wouldn't you know he wouldn't have died in that amount of time
oh no okay well that's good
so people from all over the world were sending cards and letters to Dora and Chester. First, they were sending him to the hospital because that's where they knew that she was. And like I said, she was there and there were police stationed outside of her room to keep reporters and nosy people out and also just kind of security just in case. Chester was there with her. Like I said, the entire time he only left to go get food or something. And in the days afterward, probably days and weeks and months afterwards, there were lots of leads with people reporting other people who were acting suspiciously with babies. Like some woman came into a restaurant with a baby and asked, you know, if they could, you know, like have some milk or whatever for the baby. And they said, oh yeah, sure. You know, how old is the baby? And they didn't know. Three weeks, I think.
Ish. I don't know.
It's so it's like, okay, this is weird. Huh. Is this even your baby? Yeah. So they would call the police and the police would investigate it and it would turn out to, you know, not be this baby.
Everybody's on the lookout. If any woman is acting weird with her baby in some way, they're calling the police.
Yes. And they investigated every single one. And they were also feeding this information to reporters and and so it was being reported in the newspapers all the time.
Yeah.
What leads they had gotten and what they did to follow up on it, which is kind of weird. They weren't being reported to Dora and Chester though.
But that seems
all they had
odd
to do was read the newspaper.
Because they could alert if the kidnapper's still in the area, you know, they could alert them to, oh shit, I better fake a baby's age or something like that, or you know, not say I don't know how old the baby is. First of all, who would not know how old the baby is? But still, I shouldn't act furtive or something like that with the baby around me. I might get reported.
Yeah, but also if you're not the kidnapper, you're not thinking about that. I mean, this could be a babysitter, an aunt, an uncle. You know.
Yeah. Also probably gone. I assume.
Oh sure. Yeah.
If you are going to kidnap a baby to raise that baby, you're not going to do it in the same metro area that you stole it.
Yeah. So after a week, they do leave the hospital. They are really unable to obviously resume their normal lives. Chester doesn't go back to work for another month. He takes a whole month off of work, which also, yay, 1964.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, paternity leave is not a thing.
No.
But his, you know, employers obviously.
Probably in a union. They don't have those things anymore.
Yeah. They would only leave the house. Well, Dora would only leave the house to go to mass. She went to mass every single day.
That's a lot of mass.
I'm sure Chester was the one going to the grocery store and stuff like that. They lived in an apartment building that was owned by his parents.
Okay.
So that was also helpful because I think his parents also lived in the building. So when they went home, two FBI agents basically went with them and they set up their little FBI shop on the first floor of the building. And they were there 24 hours a day, at least one of them, just in case they got a ransom call or something, or somebody showed up at their house. They didn't get a single call. They didn't even get a suspicious call, like a hoax call.
They should have known very quickly this was not a kidnapping.
Yeah.
Especially given the fact that they're not wealthy.
Yeah.
No one should think they are, and that it was a baby is fairly obvious, and that she was looking at is really obvious what's going on here. I get it, but
yeah, they kind of have to, but because you never know. One of the agents stayed a week and the other one stayed 2 weeks and then they packed up and left. And they kept receiving lots of cards and letters and stuff after they went home. And then after a couple of months, they did get a call demanding $10,000 in a paper sack delivered to a certain place for the return of the baby.
That should be the death penalty for these people who do that.
So
they always come out of the woodwork in these prominent cases. Honest to God, it should be 30 years in jail.
Well, they told the FBI. So the FBI decided they were going to dress an agent up to look like Dora. And they put, you know, shredded newsprint in a paper bag. And they were going to take it and take it to the drop-off place as instructed by this person. And then arrest whoever comes to pick it up. So they arrested a young woman who came and picked up the bag. Yes. As we all know, it was just an extortion plot. It was not, not a baby.
Do you know what they did with that young woman besides kill her on the spot? And just like, hey, I think she has a gun on her. And just, I mean, that's such a monstrous thing to do.
I'm sure she was arrested. And
not enough time in prison. I don't know what a prison was, but it's not enough.
So it's an active case. Obviously, they're still, I'm sure, running down every lead. But they've kind of done, you know, after several months, all they can, and there's no sign.
And they must have known she was nowhere near Chicago. So now it's a national or even possibly international.
Yes, it was. Because, I mean, they got letters from Australia and, you know, all over the place, California. So now we're in 1965, July 2nd, and we're in Newark, New Jersey.
Newark, New Jersey.
A child is found in downtown Newark on Fancy Schmancy Broad Street.
There's a Fancy Schmancy Street in Newark, New Jersey? I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised to hear that.
This is where all the good shopping is. This is where all the fancy ladies go.
I had no idea. Have never been there.
I did not
I
know
believe
that
I have flown in the airport once or twice.
Yeah, me too. And that's it. Well, this one fancy department store was called McCrory's.
McCrory's. That does sound fancy.
It does.
It does not. I thought pretty obvious.
McCrory's?
It sounds very much like a bar in the corner of a gritty street. Hey, McCrory's, you get whiskey and one kind of beer.
Well,
sorry.
It was a nice department store.
Okay.
And this is in front of McCrory's on the sidewalk is where this baby boy was found. He was well dressed in a blue suit. He was sitting in a very new push seat.
Push.
I think they called it.
They called them push seats. Yes, that's a fact.
I think it must be a stroller, but they called
I'm
it.
I'm sure it is.
Called a it a push chair or something like
that's
that.
That's a stroller to everyone else in the world.
I mean, I wrote stroller.
Yeah.
But
push chair. Let's bring that back.
Yeah.
Oh, do you need a push chair for your new baby? What the hell are you talking about? And I insist, I was going to get you a stroller, but now that you won't call it a push chair, I'm not going to get you one. So.
Well, whoever brought him took him into the store and then at some point back out of the store and left him on the sidewalk and just left. So people apparently noticed that, but they didn't really know who it was or when all of this happened. It was just like, oh, there's this kid on the sidewalk.
Was this still the time where people did that and like would go at least briefly shopping with their kid, right?
I mean,
remember
so.
That happened. That was in Europe until not that long ago.
Oh, it still happens in Europe.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
But in mid 1960s America, was it, especially in urban areas like that, would you?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm not positive you wouldn't. Hey, someone who was
older than us.
And was around and having babies in the mid-1960s or something like that, would people leave their kid outside in the stroller just to, you know, pop into the store and get a few things? I think they might have.
Maybe. I don't know. I know they do in Europe. They'll leave a kid out and go into a restaurant even.
Yeah, which is
nuts. It's very bizarre to us, but this is America.
And for good reason.
Yes.
Now, it's there too, as we know. So.
So they call the police and say, hey, there's this abandoned child. The police come and they take him to a hospital. They estimate that he's about 14 months old.
Okay.
He weighs 20 pounds. So that's, I think, about a one-year-old even is about 20 pounds in my memory. But whatever. He has blonde hair and blue eyes. He has a runny nose. So he's got a little cold, And they keep him at the hospital until the Newark Bureau of Children's Services could come for him. A detective is assigned to his case to find out who abandoned this baby in front of a department store. They publish his picture in newspapers.
Do they have any description of the person who abandoned it? Even that male or female?
Nope.
Wow.
And they get no good leads, even after publishing his picture in the newspaper. They assumed that he was left by someone who wanted him to be found and taken care of because he was well-dressed. And like I said, it was a new pushchair.
And a nice, presumably safe area.
Yeah. So he actually ended up staying in the hospital for a few weeks. He had this cold that just wouldn't go away. And
you know what? And the fact that they left it in the stroller indicates that it was probably that not unheard of for people to leave their baby in the stroller because that gave them time to get away before people would
say, hey.
Yeah. Nowadays, you say, hey, in 30 seconds. The first person who saw that would raise an alarm.
Yeah.
But back then, probably not. So they put it in a stroller as opposed to, you know, put it in a box or something like that and then take off because leave it in the stroller gave them time to get away.
Yeah, probably. Well, from the hospital, he's like under the custody or whatever of the Newark, whatever Bureau of Children's Services, but they take him to something called an adoption home in rural New Jersey. They said it was like the first one in New Jersey, which sounds weird. It's more like a foster home than an orphanage.
Huh.
It's run.
Sounds a lot like the same thing.
No, orphanages are very different than adoption homes. Orphanages are institutions.
What is an adoption home?
Like a foster home.
You've just heard of it. Was there lots of kids there?
I don't know how many kids were there at the time, but it was just somebody's family home.
Oh, really?
And yeah, they would bring kids to temporarily stay with them until they could be placed somewhere else. And it was the family was, they were the Eckerts.
The Eckerts.
It was Frank and Claire were the mom and dad, and their daughter, Janet, who I'm thinking was a teenager.
Okay.
Because
she was kind of rambunctious. And had a lot of boys out.
No, Janet was lovely. And they talk about Claire's teenage son-in-law coming. So I'm assuming that's Janet's husband. So she was a married teen.
Yeah. Okay.
But so when this teenage son-in-law would come over, this baby would cry violently. Like he was scared to death of this young man. Huh. He didn't have the same reaction with Fred, who was older. Just this young man. So they assumed, something has happened with this poor boy and young men.
Yeah, that's weird.
And he was sick. He still had this lingering cold, and he had a fever when they dropped him off at their house.
Otherwise, was he physically okay, or did he have any signs of abuse or anything?
Actually, he did have a black eye. But other than that, you know.
That's something.
He seemed fine. Of course, it is something. And he very soon got the measles, which is not a fun thing to have.
Which means he wasn't vaccinated, and wasn't vaccination the norm by then?
I don't know for the measles. German measles, for sure. Regular measles, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah, I don't know when MMR started.
Okay.
But who knows? There were probably plenty of babies who
weren't vaccinated
immediately. But once he recovered from the measles, he was a wonderful little baby. He was happy and smart and inquisitive, and the Eckerts just fell in love with him. He loved Fred and eventually got over his fear of the teenage son-in-law, and they had a good little relationship. They said he charmed the whole family, and they loved him. Claire, the mom, called him her special baby, and so eventually they decide, we need to give this boy a birthday and a religion and baptize him.
Okay, that seems...
They must have been Catholic, so they took him to the Catholic Church.
So we're going to raise him Buddhist.
They gave him a birthday, and they also had to give him a name. So they wanted just a simple American name, so they named him Scott McKinley.
Scott McKinley. I like it. That is a... It's not too common. It's like not John Brown. But yeah, I like it. Okay.
Yep.
Scott McKinley. All right.
So they're having a good time with baby Scott. And in the meantime, the detective who was looking into his abandonment remembered that famous baby kidnapping case in Chicago a couple of years earlier.
Well, not that, about 15 months earlier. Is this still July? Or are we later in the year now?
It's probably a little bit later, but still. Okay, so, yeah.
So less than a year and a half.
Year to 2 years earlier.
I'm not quibbling.
He didn't look up the date. He just was thinking about it. Yes. So he looked into it, looked at the pictures of the parents and the baby, because there was one picture of that baby taken before he was kidnapped.
Baby Paul.
So then he decided to send for that, the entire kidnapping file from Chicago. There at the time, there wasn't like a simple test that can be done to determine if a baby is related to parents. There were blood tests, and it was like they would test this one little thing and this one little thing, and each little thing was suggestive. It wasn't definitive proof, but they did have Claire and Fred bring little Scott McKinley to a hospital and have his blood drawn to see, you know, maybe he could be
blood
that baby
of the parents back in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They didn't have any hand or footprints of the baby from Chicago because they hadn't done that yet with him. So they decided, well, everybody's ears are a little bit different, which I don't think this should count for much, but I guess all the little ridges and curves on your ears are distinctive. Yeah. So
are they going to earprint people at the police station when they book them?
I hope not.
That'd be
but
messy.
So they did do like a little plaster cast or whatever of Scott McKinley's ear.
He probably did not enjoy that.
And the only thing they can check it against is a picture of a newborn baby.
Of a newborn, which presumably wasn't focused on the ear.
Exactly. Okay, so
they're trying, anyway, though.
Yeah, they're trying very hard. So this, now we're in September.
September. Got it. 65.
Yes. And so the FBI gets, they take pictures of Scott, the blood samples, and the cast of his ear, and see if they can match it. Now we're all the way in March 1966, because all this stuff takes time. They decided they couldn't say for sure if he was the kidnapped baby, but they had tested other babies throughout the year plus since the kidnapping and ruled them out one by one based on whatever.
Earprint.
This was the first baby that they looked at that they thought, oh, this could be him. We're not sure.
That seems like a long time to take when you think this could be a baby
who has been kidnapped.
Who's been kidnapped, who belongs to this devastated family.
So they decide, the FBI then concludes, yeah, we think this is probably that baby.
The FBI did. Okay.
And they contacted Chester and Dora to say, we think we might have found him. Mm-hmm. They're in Chicago. This baby is in New Jersey. And because they couldn't, there was no scientific test to prove it, if they decided, yes, this is our baby, they still have to adopt him.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So just legally.
No, this is way before DNA.
Yes.
Because they could have just followed the baby around until he drank from a straw and then threw that straw away, and they could have taken that straw and had it tested at a DNA lab.
So even before they have even seen a picture of this baby, they decide to get the ball rolling on approving them as a prospective adoptive parents, which takes months. So they start that. And then in June, they get approved. They still haven't even seen a picture. But they're approved. You guys are provisional adoptive parents or whatever.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So it's been over 2 years now.
So they decide, okay, Chester and Dora need to come to New Jersey to see the baby. And the Eckerts know all about this. They know leading up to this. They know because they got to bring him in for tests and ear casts and all that kind of stuff.
Because they've now had the baby for quite a while.
Yeah, they love him.
He's the light of their life.
Yes, but they know that they knew actually when they brought him in that this could be from.
This could be the baby from Chicago? Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they brought him into the meeting, but they were put in a different room. So the baby was taken. They were not allowed to stay with him.
Even if this is not true, can you please change the story to have the Eckerts then make a run for it and leave with the baby we're going to go to Brazil. It's going to be an international manhunt. Can you just change it to be maybe?
No.
Okay.
Because they're very good people. They would never do that something that bad.
Way more interesting. I'm just saying.
So the baby is taken from Frank and, or Fred and Claire and taken into a room where there's like a social worker and Chester and Dora.
Okay.
When Dora sees the baby, she says, yes, I think that's him.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Or is she like, oh my God, my baby. And she runs and hugs him and things
like
that?
Well, I don't think she's that kind of a person. But okay. I think...
She's not demonstrative.
Yeah, she thought it was him.
Was it like, you know what? Maybe? And since we've already been approved, I guess we're going home with him.
Well, that was good enough for everyone involved.
Really?
So the Chicago PD and the FBI basically sign off on... giving him to them.
She's like, I'm a solid 74% sure. So
which closes the case on the kidnapping.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
Because if he's been identified as that baby, you know, there's no case.
FBI's happy. Police are happy. Chester and Dora are happy.
Well, they gave
Fred and Claire not so much, but
they gave Chester and Dora 2 days to decide.
Really?
If they wanted to take him. And they stayed in New Jersey.
Okay, when they say, yes, that's my baby, do you really need 2 days to decide? You know what? No, that's our baby. I don't know if we really have room for him anymore, though. We're moving out. The apartment's small. We've had another child. Have they had any other children since this?
Oh. No. Nope.
Okay. Still, like, we know it was an accident. I'm not going to lie. We're not 100% sure on this.
Obviously, okay. They wanted him. They had to stay in New Jersey for another week because there's a lot of paperwork that has to be done.
A week's worth.
And then they took him home to Chicago.
New Jersey needs to lighten up on the bureaucracy. That's a lot. I mean, this is months or just, you know, getting approved and all that thing. Come on, man.
Well.
Chill out, New Jersey.
Yeah. It's not a New Jersey or a Chicago thing. That's very universal. Adoptions take a long time.
I think they should take a week.
Okay.
The same kind of background check that Uber does for their drivers should be plenty, which is to say.
I can pretend you didn't say that.
Okay, sorry.
So, obviously, reporters get wind of this when they arrive in Chicago. You know, they're. You know, they get out of their car and there's reporters there asking them questions. And one reporter saw them in the car and said, is this the same baby? And Chester's answer is, I can't say. So that's kind of interesting.
So, okay. That sounds like Chester is not the 74% sure that Dora is.
Yeah.
Okay. He's like 52.
Dora's actually pregnant. At this time. She's about 3 months pregnant.
That's why he's not so sure. Because like they have a one-room apartment, Carrie. This is going to be...
I don't know how big their apartment is, but I think they're fine.
614 square feet.
So 6 months later, so in December of 1966, their other baby, another boy, Dave, is born.
Dave.
Paul has
what?
New mom and dad.
Paul, Carrie... Paul.
His name is Paul.
Intriguing.
He has a new mom and dad.
Okay. Dave and Paul. Paul. Paul's the baby from New Jersey. The one they're 74 and 52% sure about.
Yes.
Okay.
And now Dave.
You've been hiding something from us.
Is about 3 years younger than him. And so as they're growing up, Paul feels not a super strong connection to his family. He feels different and he feels that his brother is treated a little bit differently.
Really?
For example, when they move to a new house, the younger brother gets the big bedroom with the big bed.
Paul, you get the attic.
And he gets the much smaller bedroom.
Here's your bucket of fish heads. Enjoy.
So when Paul was 10 and he found all those mysterious newspaper clippings talking about
that you teased us with
the kidnapping and the baby hunt in Chicago, he brings them out and he shows them to his mom.
And she says, oh, my God, they used the phrase baby hunt. And then
my picture is he plunks everything down on the kitchen table and says,
what is this, mother?
Blame this, mom.
He's 10. Probably didn't.
She immediately gets angry that he was snooping around the house. Because remember, he's looking for Christmas presents.
Yeah, well, that's a given.
And he said, you know, there's all these articles in here. Is this about me?
Yeah.
And she said, yes.
Because that's my name.
You were born, you were kidnapped, and we got you back. And that's it.
That's it.
I will say no more on the subject. It is closed.
Yeah, pretty much.
You've just heard your entire story, took 9 words.
Yep. Okay. And they never talked about it again.
What?
But when his parents were gone from the house, he would go back and open up those boxes again. And over time, he read every single letter, wow, every single article.
So everything. They left him in the same hiding place that they knew he knew
probably
about?
Probably.
Okay.
He wanted to know all the details, okay, everything that happened, which obviously I would too.
Yeah. He's very young though to really, I mean, he couldn't like, I'll just go to the city library and check the microfiche.
Well, sure. No, but I mean, when I was 10, I would have been calling my grandmother and my aunts. I don't, you know.
And I kidnapped?
Know much about their extended family, but.
Who kidnapped me? How long was I gone? Where was I? Were the people who took care of me likable and nice? Were their names Fred and Claire? Was I afraid of his son-in-law? Did we have a puppy? Does he have any puppies?
I don't know.
Because if Fred and Claire had puppies, that would be, he should hitchhike to New Jersey at this point. They're in Chicago, right?
Yes. Still? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But he kind of had a rocky childhood a little bit. Like I said, he felt a little bit different than his family. He didn't feel the connection that clearly he saw that his brother had with his parents.
Yeah.
And his parents, they were very protective, you know, like, you can only play where I can see you kind of stuff, which is understandable. I would be the same way.
Not then, it wasn't. In the 70s?
If you'd had a kidnapped kid, yeah, it's understandable.
I know, but to the kid, you were the most coddled kid on your block, for sure.
Yeah.
They're out all day. Their parents have no idea where they are. They leave in the morning, during the summer at least.
Yeah.
They come home at dusk. That's the life. So he would have felt differently, I suppose.
Because of that. Yeah. Never allowed sleepovers. Yeah. Wow. You know, that kind of thing. And his parents are also devoutly Catholic, as we know.
And he felt Buddhist, didn't he? Had a kinship with Buddhism. I thought so. Remember?
No, but he's getting into girls and wanting to date. Oh. And, you know, they don't like that so much.
Catholics don't like that.
Especially his mom.
Do you know how many Catholics there are?
Well, they don't want any premarital hanky-panky go on.
They are, so, most of those religions don't.
Yes.
Frown on that. Guess what? It still happens.
Oh, as teenagers, they're on a family trip, and he and his brother, Dave, get into a fight about something, and it turns into like a physical
tussle. How old are they?
Tussle. Teenagers.
Teenagers, okay.
And Paul ends up yanking out a fistful of Dave's hair.
Ooh.
And he said...
A hair puller, huh?
Yeah.
I think less about Paul now.
This was, he said, basically the end of their relationship.
What?
It was very strange from that point on.
From the hair. It's like, no one messes with the dude. And Dave was like done with him.
Well, he leaves home at some, I think, you know, fairly young. And it seems like, I'm assuming he didn't go to college. Mm-mm. He joined a band. He's very musical. He loved music and played instruments and stuff. So I think he had kind of just been bouncing around. I think he ended up, I don't know where he met these band members, and they said, well, can you move to Arizona? And he said, sure.
Hell yeah.
So
got nothing keeping me here.
Exactly. Packed up.
Here's a comp of my brother's hair, as a matter of fact.
And, you know, the band didn't last, and he just was kind of bouncing around his
life.
Even
with the Arizona music scene of the 1980s?
Huh. Yeah. He ends up in Las Vegas. He, I was going to say he settles down. I don't know how settled he was, but he gets married to a woman named Michelle.
Okay. Met her in Vegas?
I probably.
Okay.
I don't know where they met.
What do you know what year we are now? What age he is?
He's 45.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they didn't get married at 45. They got married at some point, but he's older.
Okay.
Because he was very restless.
Like 2010-ish.
Bouncing all over the place.
Somewhere in that range. He's born in 64, we think.
When he's 45.
Yeah,
and
maybe about 2009.
Is it? Or like 2008, I'm thinking.
Okay.
Maybe. But anyway.
Carrie's like, wait, hold on.
I'm not like you. I don't put the timeline. But I know he's 45.
Okay.
He and Michelle are married, and they're about to have a baby.
How old is she?
I don't know.
I'm just worried about sticky eggs.
Geriatric pregnancy.
Geriatric pregnancies. Just listeners, Carrie's been on a rampage about that. So that's why.
Well, clearly she must be a bit younger than him.
Yeah.
So.
Because otherwise I'm just freakish.
They're at a routine doctor's appointment, and the doctor probably like he asks every expecting couple in his office about their medical history. Mm-hmm. And he's about to, you know, give medical history, what he knows of Chester and Dora. Mm-hmm. And then he thinks, oh, hang on a second. What if they're not my real parents?
Is he lactose intolerant?
This might not be my actual medical history.
So what made him think that?
Oh, he's felt that way his entire life.
So just be feeling like an outsider, and an outcome is serious now because he's going to have a child. Mm-hmm. He's going to think, what if I wasn't the little kid who was kidnapped back in April 1964?
Yep. And so now I got to do something. Now I got to try to figure out who I really am.
Okay. And that sends Paul on a pretty fascinating journey that we will discuss in part two of the Paul Fronczak saga. I just made that up. I don't know if that's the right title, but huh.
Yes, we will.
Are you going to tease anything for that? He's going to, well, don't tell us the answer.
Obviously. Okay. Well, obviously it's going to involve DNA, which we know.
From what I know about this case, it's also going to involve a pretty amazing backstory.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, well, it is.
Thanks, Carrie.
Which is why this is going to be a two-parter.
Yes.
I don't know why we didn't say that up front.
It's probably
pretty obvious.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Carrie, for part one of the Paul Fronczak story. We look forward to part two next week. We hope you do too, listeners. Please join us then.
You got very NPR there.
That was a very smooth radio voice, wasn't it?
Yes.
I didn't do that on purpose. Okay.
Thanks for listening.
See ya.